Mark chapter 10. Tonight we're going to be starting in verse 46. I titled this message, Relentless, Ridiculous Faith.
Amen.
Relentless, Ridiculous Faith. Say that with me. Say, Relentless,
Relentless.
Ridiculous,
Ridiculous
Faith. A little bit louder. Relentless,
Relentless.
Ridiculous,
Ridiculous
Faith.
Faith.
Amen. That sounds good. Amen. That sounds powerful. Just hearing it.
Right.
Say it one more time. Relentless.
Relentless.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Faith.
Faith.
Now look at your neighbor and say it. Relentless.
Relentless.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Faith.
Faith.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And we want to take this time to welcome those that are watching online, Facebook Live. Amen. Through YouTube. Amen. We want to welcome you. We're praying for you. We love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Mark 10, 46 says, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Tell your neighbor, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith. Tell your neighbor, your faith.
Your faith.
Come on, tell your neighbor, your faith.
Your faith.
Tell him in Spanish, tu fe. Has healed you. Immediately. Somebody say immediately.
Immediately.
He received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts. Lord, give me strength to preach, God. God, let me be a funnel here tonight, Lord, that your word can flow through. God, remove me to the side. Speak through me here this evening. I pray that you remove all distractions, God, that we will be a disciplined congregation, and that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to our church here tonight. God, I pray, God, that you would boost our faith during this time, God, that we celebrate your birth. We love you. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody says
amen.
Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you may be seated. Come on, give your neighbor a high five. Amen. I just heard like three of them. Amen. This man here is an example of relentless, ridiculous faith. I want you to know that this type of faith does three things. First, it gets you to Jesus. His faith got him to Jesus. I don't want you to overlook the uniqueness of that. Because in all reality, the odds were stacked against him. He was a blind man. I don't know how long he was blind. The Bible doesn't say it, but I'm pretty sure he was probably blind since he was born. And all his life, he lived blind. It wasn't easy for him to get to places, but his faith got him to Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? Just like your faith got you here tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the devil was trying to hold you back.
Yeah.
He was fighting tooth and nail that you didn't make it here. He was throwing fiery darts of every excuse to your mind. But your faith inside says, I gotta get. the altar. I got to get to the church. I want you to know that when you come here, you experience Jesus. Because we're all about Jesus here at Victory Army. Somebody say amen. We're all about giving Jesus glory. We're all about praising Jesus. We're all about exalting Jesus. We're all about shouting the name of Jesus. Somebody shout that name. This man's faith got him to Jesus.
Yes.
Secondly, his faith got him healed by Jesus.
Amen.
Healed by, wait a minute, you've been healed by Jesus before.
Amen.
Come on, I've been healed by Jesus. Huh? Come on, I had a flu, Jesus healed me.
Amen.
Hey, I had the runs, Jesus healed me.
Amen.
Come on, someone, come on now. Huh? Jesus has healing power. Some of you got bigger. Some of you have been healed by cancer from Jesus. Some of you were healed. Some of you ladies, you had a lump and Jesus took away that lump. Come on, somebody. Huh? There's some sicknesses that Jesus healed us from, and we didn't know he even healed us from it. Oh, you ain't even hearing me tonight. Huh? Listen, there's some things that, listen, you should have overdosed, but Jesus healed you. Even the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were in our sin all messed up. We weren't supposed to survive that night, but Jesus healed you. Huh? This man's faith, see, this type of faith gets you to Jesus, gets you healed by Jesus, and then it gets you to follow Jesus.
Amen.
That's what happened to Bartimaeus. His faith got him to Jesus. His faith got Jesus to heal him, and his faith got him to follow him.
Right.
The problem is some people get healed and they don't follow.
No mercy.
Huh? And the proven fact is in the 10 lepers. Remember the 10 lepers?
Yeah.
I think it's also in the book of Mark. It says that all of a sudden that 10 of the 9 of them were healed, but only one came back to give Jesus praise. Only one came back to find Jesus to thank him. Only one came back to find Jesus to give him what belonged to him. Only one came back with the desire to follow Jesus. See, many people get healed by Jesus.
Wow.
Then they don't want to follow Jesus. Come on, somebody. Listen, Jesus healed me 18 years ago. He healed me 18 years ago from a messed up mind and a messed up heart and a messed up lifestyle. But 18 years ago when he healed me, I started to follow him. And I've been following him for these 18 years. Why? Because of my faith. You can see this man's relentless spirit. You can see his relentless faith in three ways here. The first way you can see his relentless faith is that he wasn't sitting on his hands while he was blind.
Mm.
He had every excuse just to sit there and just, you know, have a pity party.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm blind. Woe is me. Kick the can. He had every excuse just to sit there and go through it. But you can tell that this man, there was a relentlessness about this man.
Amen.
There was, you know what? I told you what relentless means. It means nonstop.
Yeah.
It means that, listen, nothing's going to get in my way. And you can tell that this man, Bartimaeus, had a relentless faith, had a relentless spirit, because he wasn't just sitting on his hands while he was blind. But listen, he says, I may be blind, but I still got a voice. I may be blind, but I still got a mouth. I may be blind, but I still got two ears and one mouth. I may be blind, but I still got two feet and two hands. And he says, I'm just going to use what I got. I may not have it all, but I'm going to use what I got. It's kind of like our church. We may not have it all, but we use what we got. Somebody say amen. And this man, listen, he was blind, but he didn't let that hold him back. He just didn't sit there sitting on his hands. No, my friend, he came up with a strategy. He said, I may be blind, but I ain't got to be broke. Oh, you ain't hearing me tonight? He says, I may be blind, but I ain't got to be broke. And so I may have some limitations. So he came up with the hustle. He says, you know what? I'm going to sit somewhere and I'm going to ask for alms. I'm going to beg for money because I need to bring something to the table. Hello, somebody. I just can't come eat at the table, but I need to bring something to the table. And so he got up every every day, and he went out to the square because probably nobody wanted to hire him. Nobody wants to hire a blind man. Hello, somebody. But listen, he says, you know what? I'm just not going to let that hold me back, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to beg. I'm going to ask for alms. And this is how he supported himself. There was a relentlessness about him. He wasn't just out there sitting on his hands and feet, but he was out there making it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? Tell you never make it happen. Yeah. Relentless faith is not sitting around waiting for something good to happen. Relentless faith goes out and makes things happen. Yeah. Listen, you gotta go after your health. You gotta go after your wealth. I don't care if you're sick in body. Hello, somebody. Go after your health. Just because they diagnosed you with diabetes. Just because they diagnosed you with high blood pressure. Just because they diagnosed. Listen, just don't sit there and just say, oh, well, I guess I'm just gonna wait here to die. No, my friend, a relentless faith, a relentless spirit says, I don't care what the doctor said. As long as there's breath in my lungs and blood pumping through my veins, there is still hope. I can still do something. And if my body's acting up, then I need to discipline my body. And maybe I need to go into some prayer and some fasting. And maybe I need to go to the gym. And maybe I need to come. You ain't hearing me tonight. But I'm just not going to sit down and die. Hello, somebody. But a relentless faith says, I'm going to make something happen. You got to go after your health. You got to go after your wealth. Come on, somebody. You gotta go after your wealth. Huh? Money don't grow on trees, and money sure don't fall out of the sky. Come on now. You gotta go after your wealth. You gotta go after your health. You gotta go out. You gotta have the spirit of blind Bartimaeus that made it happen.
Man, that's right.
Because one day you're gonna run into Jesus. Come on, somebody. Oh, but you ain't gonna run into Jesus if you ain't doing nothing. Huh? If you're just sitting in a pity party, if you're just sitting there in front of the TV, the one ID man all day long, if you're just sitting there like this all day long, come on, somebody, you ain't gonna get nowhere like that all day on Facebook. Huh? Oh, you got to get out there and put your hands to the plow. You got to get out there and knock on some doors, even if you got to beg. Hello, somebody. There used to be a song, I Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Come on now. Huh? Because one day when you're out there trying to make it happen, you're going to run into Jesus. That's what happened to Bartimaeus. That's what happened to Bartimaeus. He was out there just trying to make it happen. Alms. Hey, he had his little cup or little plate, little offering plate. Will you give to the poor? Give to the I'm blind. Will you donate to the taco fund of the blind man? Come on, somebody. He was out there making it happen, and as he was out there making it happen, all of a sudden one day he had an experience with the miracle worker. He ran into the miracle worker came his way, and I'm here to tell you, for those that are out there grinding for Jesus, you're gonna run into the miracle worker. Listen, sometimes you run into the devil. Hello, somebody, but it's all right because that just tells you you're doing something right. Come on, somebody, say amen here tonight. If the devil ain't tussling with you, then you're doing, maybe you ain't doing nothing. Oh, but when you're out there grinding for Jesus, when you're trying to do something for the Lord, listen, the enemy's going to attack you, but it's all right because you have a relentless faith that says, venga lo que se venga. Come what may come, I'm still going to have my faith on high. I'm still going to put my trust in Jesus. I still know he's a miracle worker. I still know he's Jehovah Jireh. I still know he's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I still believe in my God. You're going to run into a miracle worker. See, you see his faith, but he wasn't just sitting around. And then also you see his relentless faith that he didn't let a rebuke stop him. It says the people began to rebuke him. The people began to rebuke him because he was calling out to Jesus. Let me tell you something, relentless faith will get you rebuked. Faith will get you rebuked by people sometimes. Faith will get you rebuked by mom and daddy. By brother and sister. By tío and tía. Faith. Real faith. Come on, somebody. It'll get you rebuked. What do you mean you're giving to the church? What do you mean you're going to church Friday night? The church is for Sunday night. And you know, Friday night is now. You're not supposed to go to church on Friday night. And there they are rebuking you. And there they are. Why you got to go to Bible study? And why you got to go over there? And why do you got to be so committed? And you need to take care of your kids. And you ain't taking care of your kids. And you ain't taking care of this. And you ain't taking care of that. And there they are rebuking you. Oh, but I love what Jesus said. Leave them alone. Call him here, because I got a miracle on my sleeve for him. Yes,
Amen.
He didn't let a rebuke stop him.
Amen.
He didn't let a rebuke stop him. They will accuse you of getting ahead of yourself. That's what they did to him. They were accusing him of getting ahead of himself. Just shh, Jesus don't want nothing to do with you. Just be quiet. You're messing up the peace. You're messing up the flow. Come on, somebody. You're messing up the parade. Come on, somebody. He said, I don't care about no parade. I don't care about no flow. I care about my miracle. I need to get mine. I need to be heard. I need Jesus to look my way. Faith to get you rebuked. I remember one time, you know, I was in the home.
Well.
They put me in the kitchen.
Hello.
They put me in the kitchen. And in the home, in the kitchen, my God. Sometimes, my God, man, and then you have 30 men to feed. My home was like, we had a home of 30 men in our home. 40 men in our home. Big home. They put me in the kitchen. Nobody wanted to be in the kitchen.
Well.
Because you have 40 hungry men walking by the kitchen like lions. Just pacing. In the morning, lunch, and dinner. I'm in there trying to work up a miracle. I'm in there trying to work up a miracle. And you know, it was lunchtime one time, and they said, you know, hey, there was a lot of the guys were out, you know, doing stuff, ministry, working different things. And they say, hey, man, you know, we got to have lunch for the guys that are here. We sent all the lunch for the guys that are working. Come on, somebody. But I knew these three words that were famous. Make it happen.
Yeah.
I remember all we had was some bread and we had some bread and a little bit of peanut butter. Or we didn't even have peanut butter. We just had bread, no peanut butter and no jelly. But we had a lot of bread because we got bread donations. But I remember in the back we had some lockers, and in those lockers there was a whole bunch of like different little seasonings, and then in one of those lockers there was a whole bunch of icing.
Wow.
Make it happen. These men gotta eat. These lions gotta eat, or they're gonna eat me. So I went out there and got the bread, got the icing. I said, man, I gotta make it happen. I got the icing, got the bread, and put the icing in the bread. Put another piece of bread on it. Made about 20 sandwiches. Come on, somebody. Lunchtime came. Started feeding peanut butter jelly sandwiches. Peanut butter jelly sandwiches. They ate them up. They gobbled them up. Lions them. But the home director got one. I was there eating my icing sandwich. Came to the kitchen. He invaded the kitchen. You weren't supposed to come into the kitchen if you weren't part of the kitchen. But he came into the kitchen. And he had the sandwich. And he threw on the table. What's that? I said, it's a sandwich. Then he got it and he opened it. What's in that sandwich? I said, well, let me explain. We had no peanut butter. We had no jelly. But we had bread and icing. He said, don't you ever feed the men that junk again. Don't you ever do that. What made you think to do it? I said, I'm sorry, home director, but we had nothing. I look at the fridge, it is empty. Look at the cupboards, it is empty. And he said, well, he said, still, don't you ever feed that to us again. See, faith will get you rebuked.
Come on,
somebody. Sometimes you say, man, I ain't got it. We ain't got nothing, my friend. Oh, but listen, when you step out in faith, my friend, listen, you may not do it right, my friend, but at least you did it. At least you tried, my friend. I say it this all the time. If you're going to fall, you're going to fall forward. Don't fall backwards. Come on, somebody. If you're going to fall, fall forward. If you're going to fall, take a leap of faith. If you're going to fall, then be like Peter. At least he stepped out of the boat. And maybe, yes, he started to sink, but the Bible tells me that at least he walked on water for a little while. He didn't let a rebuke stop him. Sometimes you can't let a rebuke stop you. Because you're going to get rebuked. You're going to get rebuked. You're going to get rebuked by your family. You're going to get rebuked by your loved ones. You're going to get rebuked by your friends. You're going to get rebuked by pastors. You're going to get rebuked by the leaders. You're going to get rebuked. You're going to get corrected. You can't fall apart. You can't start crying every time you get corrected. Come on now. We ain't sissies in this place. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too rough? I'm sorry. Pardon me. We Victory Outreach up in here. Come on, somebody. You didn't fall apart in the world. Come on now. Oh, Pastor, you're so hard on us. Bring Pastor Jesse back. Bring that guy Louie back. Papa's in the house tonight. He didn't let a rebuke stop him. We can't let a rebuke stop him. Let the Lord will rebuke you. Come on, somebody. You don't have a real relationship. Let me tell you. You don't have a real relationship with God if God ain't rebuked you. God was rebuking me this morning. Come on, somebody. Every time you open up this Bible, it's a rebuke. Don't act like you're all holy and you got a halo over you and you're a saint and, Come on now. If God don't rebuke you, then listen, you ain't got a real relationship with God.
That's right.
Because God will rebuke you, and he'll love on you, he'll forgive you, he'll hold you tight. Then he'll give you the bow bow too. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says God rebukes those he loves. He chastises those he loves. Chastise. You know what chastise means? It means taking out the cinto, la faja. You know, the switch, the chancla, whatever you want to call it. Whatever they did to you. Come on now. Spare the rod, spoil the child. God don't want a bunch of spoiled Christians. Come on now. So he has to pull out the rod sometimes. That's why sometimes you gotta go. That's why sometimes you go through it. Don't blame the devil for everything. Not everything's the devil's fault. Some stuff you got yourself into. Come on, kid. Come on now. And you get yourself into it, and God got to rebuke you. Come on now. See, but listen. Don't let the rebuke stop you. Take it on the chin. Take it on the chin. Say, you know what? I needed that. I love the scripture. It says, let the righteous smite me. Righteous smite me. Let the righteous man of God, let the righteous woman of God tell me like it is. I don't need it sugar-coated. I don't need the silk gloves. I need the boxing gloves. Come on, somebody. Let the righteous smite me, my God, because I want to change. I'm tired of being the same. See, that's ridiculous faith right there. That's the type of faith, my God. Listen, I don't care if I get rebuked, man. I need a good rebuke.
Amen.
But don't let the rebuke hold you back. You get rebuked. Don't fall apart after the rebuke. Get up and say, you know what? I needed that. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Because it's making me stronger.
Yes. Amen.
You can see his relentless faith. Also, it says that he threw off his cloak quickly and stood up to go to Jesus. In other words, he leaped into action. Faith jumps into action when called by Jesus. You see, he was relentless. because he leaped into action. He didn't wait, but it says he stood up quickly because when he heard that Jesus called him, he says, man, that's what I've been waiting for. And so he stood up quickly and he leaped into action and he presented himself before Jesus and a miracle took place.
Amen.
See, relentless faith jumps into action. That's what relentless faith does. Relentless faith jumps into action. Listen, James says it like this, chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? This is why we can't talk about it. We got to be about it.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is why we have a men's home and a women's home. Yes, we have a gang ministry and we have life groups. Because we don't want to talk about we love people. We want to really love people.
Yes, yes, amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead.
Come on now.
Huh? Nothing would have happened if he wouldn't have stood up and jumped into action.
Right.
If he said, hey, Jesus is calling you, but if he would have stayed sitting down there and if he would have not got up and went to church, come on, somebody, nothing would have happened. Listen, when Jesus started calling you, you probably weren't in the church. You were probably in the crack house. Come on, somebody. In the clubhouse. In somebody's house you shouldn't be in. Huh? I remember when Jesus started calling me.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? I was in the dope house.
Dude,
come on now. It was my dope house. I was slaying dope. But I felt an uneasiness.
Yeah.
And that's when I heard Jesus calling me. I remember when Jesus started calling me. I was in the middle of going delivering dope. And I started to feel it. I didn't know what it was. Huh? But I jumped into action. I said, I need to figure what this thing is.
That's right.
And it led me to the house of God. Yes. And I ain't ever been the same. It's been 18 years. Yes. And God has done a miracle in my life. And I'm here to tell you what God has done for me, he'll do for you. Just don't give up. Learn to have this relentless, ridiculous faith.
Good.
Jump into action. You see this relentless faith in those three areas. He wasn't sitting on his hands. He didn't let a rebuke stop him. And he jumped into action. Then you see his ridiculous faith in three ways. Ridiculous. Relentless is one thing. Ridiculous is another. Relentless means nonstop. Huh? This is why he wasn't sitting on his hands. This is why he didn't let a rebuke stop him. This is why he threw off the cloak quickly and jumped into action. Because he was relentless. But now look at his ridiculousness. See, sometimes you got to be willing to be ridiculous. That's the problem. We don't want to seem ridiculous. Huh? But you see his ridiculous faith in three ways. One, he heard the word of God and believed it. He heard the word of God and believed it. It says, when he heard Jesus was coming. That's what it says. When he heard Jesus was coming. Remember, he was blind. He could not read the Bible. Huh? But he started to hear about the stories. He started to hear about the testimonies. He probably heard about how he resurrected Lazarus from the dead. He probably heard about Legion, how he set Legion free. He probably heard about how he delivered Mary Magdalene from, I don't know how many devils she had, 10, 12, 30, I don't know. She had a lot of devils, the Bible says. Huh? He was hearing all these stories. Huh? And he heard that Jesus was coming. It says when he heard that Jesus was coming, in other words, he had already been hearing about Jesus and how he was a miracle worker. He had heard of all the testimony and stories of Jesus healing people and doing miracles. And he believed Jesus could do the same for him.
Amen.
Do you believe that Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe that what Jesus did for Lazarus, he can do for you?
Yes.
He raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yes.
Huh? Do you believe that what Jesus did for blind Bartimaeus, Jesus can do for you?
Yes.
Do you believe this?
Amen.
I mean, do you really, really believe
Amen.
That Jesus can heal, that Jesus can cause the blind to see, the mute to speak, the deaf to hear?
Come on.
Do you believe what Jesus did for the thief on the cross, he can do for you?
Yes.
See, the more stories you hear of what Jesus has done, the more you get curious and say to yourself, surely he can do it for me also. If he did it for them, then he can do it for me also. When I heard my pastor tell his story of what God has done for him and what God has done for his pastor, I looked at him and I said, if God did it for them, surely God can do it for me. Listen, why? Because I had heard about the testimonies of God changing gang members and drug addicts and drug dealers. I heard about the stories how God would raise them up to be leaders and preachers and pastors. And when I looked and I heard and I said, if God did it for him, then surely God can do it for me. My faith was lifted. My faith grew just by hearing of the stories. Just by hearing of the stories. This is why it's important that we come to the house of God. This is why it's important that we hang around believers. This is why it's important that we feed our faith.
Yes, that's right.
Huh? Because all of a sudden we begin to believe.
Amen.
We begin to believe. The more we hear it, the more real it gets. The more we hear, the more we hear it and see it, the more real it gets. And this man, he's shown his ridiculous faith, because let me tell you something. Not everybody believes what they hear about Jesus. Because if they did, this place would be packed out to capacity. Because if they did, we wouldn't be able to close the doors of the church. Come on, somebody. So that tells me that not everybody believes about what Jesus does. Not everybody believes about what they've heard about Jesus. But as for you and I, we believe. We believe. I believe. That's why I'm here, because I believe. That's why you're here, because you believe. You believe that God can touch your marriage. You believe that God can change your life. You believe that you can be a good married couple. You believe that you can take a city one day. You believe that you can be a leader one day. You believe that you can be a miracle worker one day. You believe. Why? Because we read it in the scriptures and we've heard it told so many times before. We believe. He had heard. It's like my pastor used to say, I was just dumb enough to believe.
Amen.
He says, I was just dumb enough to believe God.
Amen.
That's Blah Robert Theus. He was dumb enough to believe that everything he had heard about Jesus was true. And now that Jesus is coming his way, it's his turn. It's his turn.
That's right.
Do you believe everything you've heard about Jesus?
Amen.
Everything I've told you about Jesus.
Amen.
Everything every speaker has told you about Jesus. Do you believe? Huh? Do you believe everything the speakers have been coming?
Yes,
do you believe
yes,
that
yes,
when they say, man, there's going to be an explosion that takes place here? When they say we're on the brink of a breakthrough. When they say God is going to raise up leaders. When they say God has something great in store. Because when they say God has something great in store for the church, I want you to know he's talking about you.
Yes.
He ain't just talking about me. He's talking about you. They're talking about God is talking about you. When it says I'm going to do something great and victory Outreach Grand Perry, that's just the name. Oh, but the people, they're sitting right here. And so God is saying, I'm going to do something great in you. Say, never get ready. Say, never get ready. God's going to do something great.
Amen.
That's what happens. Not everybody, see, ridiculous faith. See, because some people will say, do you really believe that Jesus, that you really believe Moses split the Red Sea?
Yeah, amen.
You really believe Jesus turned water into wine?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really believe Jesus turned water into wine?
Amen.
Huh? Do you really believe?
Amen.
You really believe?
Yes.
They say, people say, how can you believe that stuff? Huh? Because I'm ridiculous.
Right. Come on now, that's right.
That's why.
That's right.
Because I got ridiculous faith. It don't make sense.
Amen. There it is. There it is.
It's the upside down keeping. It don't make sense. Quit trying to figure God out. Quit trying to understand the preaching through cognitivity, through intelligence. You got it. God is the most intelligent being ever, my friend. Yeah. But listen, quit trying to. You're going to trip yourself up if you're always trying to figure it up right here. It got to land right here. It got to land right here. If it lands right here, it'll get to here. But it first got to land on here. You got to accept it here, and when you accept it here, it begins to permeate all over you, and all of a sudden you'll have ridiculous faith just like everybody else. You'll begin to lay hands on the sick and believe God for their healing. You'll go to the hospital, do hospital ministry. You'll go to the streets late at night, late in the midnight hour. You'll be looking for the tweakers and the twerkers. Why? Because you believe that God has a power to save them. The evangelists that go out at night, they have ridiculous faith because they're just dumb enough to believe the promise that God gave to us in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I will give you the treasures out of darkness, hidden riches stored in secret place. You're just dumb enough to believe that God can save the gang member, the drug addict, the meth head, and the heroin addict. You're dumb enough to believe that God can reach the prostitute and see them saved and see them transformed and see God do a miracle in their life. Dumb enough to believe God. Ridiculous faith. Isn't that what happened to you?
Yes.
Oh, come on now. We have ex-prostitutes in the house. We have ex-meth heads in the house. We have ex-heroin addicts in the house. We have ex-crackheads in the house. We have ex-gang members in the house. And we ain't ashamed of it. We're proud of it.
Come on.
We're Victory Outreach.
Right. Amen.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, don't. Quit acting like that. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. Because listen, somebody once said it. People that forget their history are bound to repeat it. Don't forget where you came from. Huh? We have a ridiculous faith. We believe all the stories we've heard. We believe just like Brian Barbatheas. He believed everything he heard about Jesus. Huh? And his ridiculous faith got him healed.
That's good.
Huh?
Amen.
Do you believe? Do we believe? Secondly, his ridiculous faith caused him to shout out to Jesus.
Amen.
To shout out to Jesus. Huh? See, people will come in here and they'll hear you shouting. They'll see us dancing at the altar. And they're like, man, they're ridiculous.
Amen.
Amen. They really gotta praise God like that. They really gotta get all excited. Does he really have to scream like that? I mean, the speakers are loud enough. You know, I can hear him squealing. Does he really have to scream?
Yes.
Huh? I'm not shouting for you. I'm shouting for Jesus. I'm not preaching for you. I'm preaching for Jesus. I'm preaching to you, but I'm serving Jesus. I preach for an audience of one, and I want to please my commanding officer so when I stand before him, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You preach what I told you to preach. Enter into thy rest. He shouted out to Jesus. He said, have son, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me.
Amen.
When's the last time you shouted out to Jesus?
Amen.
When's the last time? Maybe you shouted by your, but have you shouted in a room full of people?
Come on.
Yes. To the people, he seemed crazy to shout, but he didn't care.
Amen. That's right.
He didn't care to be dignified. He cared more about getting Jesus' attention. The problem is there's too many church folks that want to be dignified.
Ooh.
Are you desperate enough to shout and to get ridiculous? Sometimes we lose our desperation. And when we lose our desperation, we get dignified.
Ooh.
This is why our praise and worship should always be ridiculous praise.
Yeah.
We should always have a ridiculous praise.
Wow.
Because ridiculous praise gets his attention.
Yeah.
Remember David?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
David And the Bible says that he danced so hard in the presence of the Lord that he was so lost in God's presence dancing because God had done a victory for him and the children of Israel. And he was dancing so much. And you know, back then they didn't have clothes like this. They just had like toallas over them. And the Bible says like the toallas fell off and he was in his talandarans. He probably didn't eat. He probably went commando that day, I think. And he was just praying. And he didn't even realize it. He didn't realize that he was dancing to God naked. And the Bible says that one of his wife looked down on him and she looked at him with disgust and she rebuked him and says, how dare you, you know, expose yourself to all the women. He says, what do you mean? I didn't even know I was exposed. I was so caught up praising God to her. He looked ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying to come to church naked. We don't wear twias today. Come on, somebody. Your clothes shouldn't fall off, even though my pants sometimes try to slide down. Amen. But he was so caught up in praising God, he didn't care who was watching. Who cares who's watching? You get your ridiculous praise on. Who cares? It doesn't matter, my friend. You praise God. Why? Because there's a breakthrough that will take place when you get God's attention. It doesn't matter if you don't get nobody else's attention. Are you getting God's attention? He cared more about getting God's attention. That's why he didn't let them stop him from shouting. I don't know about you, but I need God's attention.
Yes.
I read about a lady who handcuffed herself to Twitter's corporate office because they banned her from Twitter because of her political views. True story. I read it yesterday. She got their attention. Not only theirs, but the whole world. Because the media covered her story. Talk about ridiculous. Some people need to handcuff themselves to the altar.
Yeah, come on now.
Some people, you need to handcuff yourself to the door of the church.
Yeah.
And sometimes the devil gets you to miss church too much. You just need to handcuff yourself to the church, man. So pastor pulls up when he comes. Well, why do you have handcuffs to the church? He says, because I don't want the devil to pull me away from church. Come on, somebody. I don't want the enemy to pull me away from God. So, man, I'm going to get right on. I'm going to get ridiculous. I'll just look at you and say, right on, brother. Right on, sister. Come on, somebody. It may look ridiculous to everybody else. Oh, but to God, he's looking down from heaven and he's saying, oh, what a mighty faith you have. Oh, what a mighty faith you have. And you don't care what people think about you. Handcuffed to the door of the church or handcuffed to the altar. You're just cared about pleasing me and not letting me down. God is looking for some faithful people that don't care what people think about them. What people say about them, what people write about them, what people put on Facebook about them, what people put on Twitter about them, it don't matter because I'm here to get God's attention. Ridiculous faith. Ridiculous faith. Like Mike came and put money on the altar. Why? Because it's a ridiculous faith. I'm not saying that so you can come. You can come if you want. I'm saying that because it's true. Because when people see that, they say, why is he throwing money at the altar? Why are they doing that? Because there's a ridiculous faith that's stirred up. I ain't even preaching about giving. I'm not even preaching about giving. I'm preaching about faith. But there's a people that says, my God can meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider and not this green stuff in my pocket.
Come on, man.
It's a ridiculous faith. It's a ridiculous faith. It's just to step out in faith. It's a ridiculous faith. Huh? Sometimes, you know, you need to do sometimes you need to get out of the ordinary. Sometimes you need to step out of the ordinary and into the ridiculous. Step out of begging and into shouting. Because begging was ordinary for him. Begging was ordinary for blind Bartimaeus. He did that all his life, but it didn't work. He begged all his life, but it didn't work. So when he heard that Jesus was coming, he says, I'm going to try something different. I'm not going to beg him. I'm going to shout to him. I'm going to shout and say, Jesus, Have mercy upon me. Have mercy. I'm just a sinner. I don't deserve your healing touch upon my life. I don't deserve for you to deliver me. I don't deserve none of this. Oh, but if you will have mercy upon your servant, I'm just a sinner that needs to be saved by grace and that needs a miracle. But God, I know that you're a loving Jesus, that you're a loving God, and that you will provide a miracle if you just say the word. Ridiculous faith. He shouted out to Jesus. He shouted out to Jesus. Don't let nobody ever silence you. Don't let nobody silence your praise. Don't let nobody silence your worship. I don't care if you can't sing. I don't care. You shout. You shout. Don't be ashamed of your voice. Don't be ashamed to sing. Don't be ashamed to come to the altar. Don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be ashamed to dance like David danced. Don't be ashamed to jump around. Don't be ashamed. You did it in the world. You did it in the club. You did it at Cowboys. You did it at Zaps and at all these clubs around. That was a very old club. You did it at DMX. You're out there doing the charanga. You're out there dropping it like it's hot. Oh, but you don't want to praise God. You did it because you were under the influence. That's why you need to get under the influence of the Holy Ghost. You need to get under the influence of the Holy Spirit's power upon your life. Don't let nobody silence your praise. You know, your radical praise will get his attention. Your radical, when you step out and do the radical, will get his attention. When you step out and whatever it is, sometimes this is why, sometimes you got to get out of the, sometimes you might have to stop at a red light and you see a homie next to you, or you see a person next to you and the Holy Spirit leads you to give them a flyer. Oh, and you're at a red light, but you got some flyers. You get out of your car and you say, I want to give you a flyer. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. God has a plan for your life, and come to my church, and the green light's there, so I got to go, but I'll see you in church. Yay. And they're just looking like, what just happened? Yeah. Ridiculous faith. Amen. Because you believe God has something for that person.
Right.
Ridiculous faith. Ridiculous faith. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit leads you to pray for somebody. This the holiday season, you're going to go with family, and all of a sudden you're there with family, but you see your cousin, you see your uncle, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, pray for them. And they're over there doing their thing, and you go up to say, hey man, you want prayer, man? God wants me to pray for you. And they look at you kind of crazy, and they look at you kind of strange, and they look at you like, you know, what are you talking about? You said, man, God wants me to pray for you. So bow your head, close your eyes, let me pray for you. You just pray and you just walk away. Come on, somebody. Let God do the rest. Ridiculous faith. Ridiculous faith. You never know what happened. You never know what's around that corner for that person. That person that you gave a flyer, that person you prayed for. That may be their last night. That may be their last night. Because your ridiculous faith, you step out of the ordinary.
Amen.
And then lastly, his ridiculous faith is seen in that he asked for the impossible to be possible.
Amen.
He asked to see. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want most. You know, sometimes we don't ask. The piano player can come up. Because we don't want to be let down. Sometimes we don't ask because we don't want to be let down. Huh? Be real.
Yeah.
We don't ask because we don't want to be let down. An evangelist comes, a preacher comes, and, you know, come on, I want to pray for healing. I want to pray for healing. Who here has this? Who has it? Come to the altar. And then, you know, sometimes I'm there, and I'm like, I know this person got that issue because they told me to pray. But now they're there, and they don't want to step out of their seat. And when the guy's saying to come up, you know, the minister's saying, come up and pray. You know why? Because they stay in their seat because they don't want to be let down.
Right.
Their mentality, well, I don't want to be let down. So you don't ask. Closed mouth don't get fed. You have not because you ask not. Let me tell you something. God don't know how to let you down.
That's right.
He don't know how to let you down. He will not let you down.
That's right.
My God has never let me down. My God has never let me down. And he's not going to let me down. He ain't going to start to let me down. He's never let me down, church. I've been serving God for 18 years and he has been faithful. Also faithful. I've been in pickles sometimes. I've been in trouble sometimes. Oh, but he's always come through. He's always come through. He's always been there. He's never let me down. He's always been faithful. Because my God don't know how to let us down. Sometimes it seems like it. But sometimes it's like that because he's stretching your faith. Sometimes it seems like that because he's growing you. Because if he gave you everything, you probably wouldn't pray or fast. Sometimes he has to drive you to your knees. Oh, but when he drives you to your knees, a beautiful thing takes place. A beautiful thing takes place. All of a sudden, his presence comes upon you, followed by his peace. Then comes his power.
Yes.
Then comes the victory.
Good.
Because he doesn't know how to let you down. Ask for what you need. Ask for what you want. Don't be ashamed. If you want to see, say, God, I want to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to see. I need to see. I'm blind. I want to see. I want to see. I want to be healed. Heal me, God. I want to be blessed, God. I want to change. I want my mind to change, God. Change my mind. God, change my heart, God. I'm tired of messing up, God. I'm tired of backsliding, God. God, change me. Heal me from my backsliding, God. Say it. Shout it. Those mouths don't get fed. You want a wife? You want a husband? Shout, God, I want a rib.
Come on.
But let me tell you something. If you're gonna shout at God, be prepared to listen to God. Be prepared to listen to God. Because God wants to give you it, but you gotta listen. You gotta listen. I like Sanford and Son. I remember that show, Sanford and Son. I like the old man. Listen, you fool. Tell his son. Because sometimes that's how we are, man. We're foolios, man. God says, listen, I want to bless you, but look, this is how I'm going to bless you, so you got to listen.
Come on.
You got to listen. But don't be afraid to ask. Ask God. You want a wife? Ask for a wife. You want a husband? Ask for a husband. But be prepared to listen on how to be a good husband before you get a good wife.
Come on.
Be prepared to be a good wife before you get a good husband. You want a good job, you want a good pay, you want a good, you know, good paying career, calling, whatever you want to call it. Ask God. Ask God. Ask God. Listen, man, I'm a blessed man. I may not be a rich man. I'm not rich and have all this money. I don't. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Right.
I'm blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm living the great life. I'm living the great life. I'm living the great life. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I'm doing what I love to do, man. I'm doing what I love to preach the word. I love to do ministry. I love to work with leaders. I love the vision. I love the ministry. I love it. And I do what I love. And God takes care of me to do what I love to do. I love it. I got a beautiful wife, beautiful family, beautiful church. But I asked for this. I asked for this. I said, God, raise me up. God, use me. God, I want to take a city one day. God, I want to build a church, God. God, I want to win souls, God. I want to preach the gospel, God. I want to travel the world and win souls all over the world, God. And God has answered every single one of those prayers. And he ain't through, my friend, because I ain't through asking, because I ain't through shouting, I ain't through being ridiculous. I don't care what anybody says, I'll be ridiculous for my Jesus. I've been ridiculous in my faith and relentless in my faith. You got to be desperate enough to shout. Ask God for the impossible. In closing, you must keep this type of faith by taking ownership of it. Take ownership of it. Jesus looked at him and he says, your faith has healed you.
Amen.
Your faith has healed you.
Amen.
Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. He didn't say, my faith. Your faith has healed you. What were you doing before you came to Victory Outreach? Don't lie. Tell the truth. I'm going to tell for you. Were you doing drugs? What kind of drugs?
Heroin.
I didn't even know I had a heroin addict in my church. I said it by faith. His faith has healed him. Heroin. The demon of heroin. That's an evil demon right there, heroin. It is a strong demon. But his faith has healed him. His faith healed him. Faith. All their faith has healed him. It's healed him. And I know their testimonies. You know their testimonies. You know why? Because they took ownership. Your faith. Because they took ownership. He says, your faith has healed you. You got to take ownership of your faith. You got to take ownership of your faith. See, when you take ownership of your faith, you'll do everything that I talked about. You'll be relentless. You'll be ridiculous. You'll shout. You won't quit. Even despite a rebuke, man, you'll get ridiculous. You won't care. You'll do these things because you've taken ownership. See, when you take ownership of it, you feed it. You feed it through prayer and the word and through hearing the preachings by coming to church. You take ownership by stretching it, by taking steps and even leaps of faith.
Amen.
That's taking ownership of your faith by feeding your faith, reading, praying, preaching, listening to the preaching. But then also you take ownership by taking steps of faith and leaps of faith.
Yes, amen.
Huh? Leaps of faith, steps of faith. Some of you take a step of faith by giving tonight.
Amen.
Some of you take a step of faith by becoming a United We Can member, by becoming a kingdom builder. Some of you taking a step of faith. You took a step of faith by going to the women's convention, the Mighty Men of Valor, the women's leadership, the gang convention, the camp meetings. Took a step of faith by going into the home. Took a step of faith. That's a big step of faith when going into the home. It's a step of faith because I took it. You took a step of faith. You took a leap of faith. That's taking ownership. Attempting great things for God and accomplishing great things for God. So Pastor Sonny tells us all the time, attempt great things for God, accomplish great things for God. Some people don't attempt them, and so they don't accomplish nothing. We take big steps of faith at VOGP.
Right.
I said we take big steps of faith at VOGP. If you're scared, don't come to this church. If you're scared. If you're scared, don't come to this church. Because we ain't scared. I said, we ain't scared. I said, we ain't scared. I said, I ain't scared. I said, we ain't scared. We ain't scared. Because we take big steps of faith. We're not scared to step out of the boat. We're not as scared to accomplish, attempt great things. We're not scared. Because we take big steps of faith. Just to name a few this year, big steps we took this year. We did Spring Fest Car Show with MC Boulevard. We did the Summer Jam Car Show with evangelist Art Blockos. We did Run for Hope and won first place, raising almost $15,000. We went to Mighty Men of Valor, Women's Convention, Summer Camp. I And we took people. We had an elder come to our church. We had our regional pastor, Pastor Jesse, come to our church. We had a worldwide missionary come to our church. And we blessed them all. We blessed them all with a nice size offering for their ministry. We didn't just give them a couple $100. We gave them a couple grand.
Come on now.
We do big things.
Right.
We license our first minister in Victory Outreach, Grand Perry. We started our discipleship home, our D home, our second phase. We sent Jose and Brian to the UTC Panama. And if you add on our daughter Celeste to Panama, and we registered Regali last month. She's on her way to Panama. We went to Houston and did the drama.
Amen.
And so many things. And the year ain't over yet. We're about to explode. We're about to explode. And we're going to end with a bang in December. Why? Because we're a church of ridiculous, relentless faith. We're a church of ridiculous, relentless faith. We're a church of ridiculous, relentless faith. Ridiculous, relentless faith. Ridiculous, relentless faith. Ridiculous, relentless. Ridiculous, relentless. Ridiculous, relentless. Ridiculous, relentless. God ain't through with this.
Right.
We're going to see miracles take place. We've already seen miracles take place. And they're going to continue to take place. We're going to see the blind see. The blind that are blinded by the world, by the devil. Some of them are family and our friends. We're going to see the scales come off. The scales are going to come off. Some of you have been in the fog. You've been in the fog, man. God's going to clear away the fog and you're going to see. You're going to see. You're going to see. Listen, some of you, man, you've been getting hit, man. You've been getting hit. You've been getting hit. The devil left Victory Outreach Dallas and came to Victory Outreach Grand Perry. But Victory Outreach Dallas kicked him out. And Victory Outreach Grand Perry is about to kick him out too.
Yeah.
We're serving Satan an eviction notice. Listen, the devil's mad at us, man.
That's right.
The devil's mad. You think we can do all this stuff, this big stuff, and not get his attention?
That's right.
Huh? There's a warrant for us in hell. There's a warrant for us in hell. Come on now. The devil done gave his little demons a warrant to come looking after us. That's why he's been at my door. That's why he's been at your door. And if he ain't got there yet, don't worry. He'll be there. Huh? That's all right. Just do what I did. I kicked him out.
Yeah.
Do what I kicked him out. I kicked him out through prayer. I kicked him out through the word. I kicked him out through fasting. I kicked him out through prayer. I kicked him out through faith. I kicked him out. I kicked him out by being relentless in my faith. By being ridiculous in my faith. And no matter what, how you come at me, devil. No matter what, no matter what you try to pull out in your arsenal. No matter if you try to tempt me with sin. No matter if you try to bring a trial my way, a storm my way, I'm still here. Get to this altar. I want you to lift your hands to God and say, God, I want to be ridiculous for you. I'm not going to let nothing hold me back. I don't care what comes my way. Oh, I'm in it to the long. I'm in it for the end. Oh, I'm not going to let nothing stop me. Nothing's going to stop my marriage. nothing's gonna pull me back into the world. I ain't going back. I ain't going back. I'm going forward. 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 Even when it don't make sense. Even when I don't understand it. Even when I'm getting hit. The left and the right. The west, the east, and the south. I'm going forward. Because you are my shield and my buckler. You are my armor. You are my hedge of protection. You are my hope. You are my hope. You are my God. Oh, I trust in you. I trust in you. You're a miracle worker.